Welcome to the Heart of Healthcare podcast. In series 3, we'll be talking about healthcare from a global perspective, offering deep discussions about what it will take for a system shift that will benefit patients and healthcare professionals when medicine is practiced from the heart. We'll be hearing from Stephanie Mo Davis, Drs. Ruby Shah, Dan Dinnenberg, and Diane Bonhoeffer as they share insights and wisdom from their personal experiences. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hey, here we are again. Hi, Ruby. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Hi, Jan.
Hey. I'm really excited for today's conversation. This is going to be another really enlightening round of looking into healthcare and looking into what can we learn from the patient and the healthcare professional's perspective from working within the matrix, working outside the matrix, and what is it that we can see when it comes to meaning, potential, and purpose. And we've chosen this theme, meaning, potential, and purpose, because we talked about what gets us into healthcare, and we talked about what is suffering, and we talked about what is a compassionate connection with ourselves, and can we give ourselves permission to actually live a compassionate relation. And so now we're looking at this a little bit more from a like bird's eye perspective and see what is the meaning and the purpose and the potential. And we're realizing that I think we kind of ended there in our last conversation, that when we get together as a patient healthcare professional relation, when we get together to work together, and this is a co-created situation, this is a situation where we're meeting at eye level, where we're both equally contributing to this, and we're ready to meet compassionately, then there may actually be a shift in focus away from solving a problem, like I am suffering as a patient and I want that suffering be gone, and I'm a doctor and I know what to do if you have a symptom complex 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, then I know what my job is. And we're both together getting rid of something that we don't want. And we've both learned to not want that. And so in this call, we're kind of questioning this assumption that healing is actually getting rid of what we don't want. And so let's have a look at what is this meaning of disease, the meaning of a patient, and what might be the potential. And I'd love to start this conversation off with Stephanie sharing the patient perspective, because this is really what this is all about.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jan, and happy to be here. I think I'd like to start by mentioning to everyone that I'm going to use my past 20-year experience and the reflections that I've gleaned for myself and my own journey forward. So it's important for, I think, the audience just to be aware that I've had a lot of time to reflect upon what I'm about to say. And what I'm about to say is something that I think can be really revolutionary for how we approach, as physicians or patients, the actual experience of what's going on between these two souls, a doctor and a patient. I think it's good to start with the realization that we're coming to our meeting together from very different places, and we're very different people. And of course, we know the role that each one is playing and the particular potential personality of the roles as the patient and the physician. But we've gotten to that room from very different places and very different choices or non-choices. And I think it's important when we talk about things that are existential, such as meaning and purpose, the first thing just to remind ourselves is that very often a doctor has chosen to be a doctor and to go through the rigorous process of educating themselves to be of service to others as part of their purpose and meaning within their life. A patient doesn't arrive in that room for the same reason. A patient arrives in that room usually, typically, because of something unforeseen that's going on that now we're forced to have to navigate through without the education coming first. So just to have that overall be said is that we have to understand that the patient is going to attempt to cultivate their education from the very moment they're sitting with the practitioner to find their meaning through that particular experience. And again, this is quite an overview here, but from my experience, this has been most helpful for me, is when I arrived in the doctor's office initially before I was diagnosed with my very serious conditions, this was not something I desired. This was something that was actually a hindrance in my life, or so I thought, from the moment I entered into the physician's office, which proceeded into many physician's visits, and I've told you in past videos, stemmed into many years of illness and even organ transplantation. If I were to continue to have looked at my condition as a hindrance or something that was not offering a meaning or purpose within my experience, I don't know if I would have been able to survive or as well as I have. So the sooner I was able to surrender and embrace things that are unseen, which are hard to document within the world of science as we know it, but the sooner I was able to realize, okay, here's an experience that I'm having. I'm not sure exactly why, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to be open and listen and trust and have some faith while I'm honest with my emotions through this process to hopefully have a better understanding for myself where there's some sort of meaning or purpose or educational, experimental journey where I'm learning from this experience. You typically never hear somebody who's gone through an extensive illness battle and will say to you, that was the worst time of my life. I hated my experience. Very often you hear people say, I wouldn't be who I am today if I did not go through that experience. But usually that recognition is coming quite far after the condition is being more resolved. And for me personally, I believe that if we opened that space for the patient in the beginning to tap into some of these aspects of surrender, faith, trust, could we imagine that there's meaning coming through this period of time that feels very detrimental and very inconvenient? So again, taking that traditional approach of fighting the disease makes it as though it's bad and not orchestrated. And if the patient continues in that mindset, the room for healing and tapping into these healing elements of meaning and purpose, it's harder for them to actually discover their full potential in their own healing process, whether they physically recover or not. We're talking about on a soul and spiritual and emotional level as well, to find that sense of acceptance and trust in their journey, no matter what it brings to light. So I just want to end by saying, if there was an openness through the physician's ability to remember his journey or her journey with going through their process of education to become a doctor, to find their meaning in life, to just kind of apply that now to the patient. They're starting their education into their potential meaning with their condition. And if I'm really open to supporting their process and realizing this is a whole body experience, it's mental, it's physical, it's spiritual, it's emotional, I'm really open to understanding the same thing that I went through in my training, which was a lot of everything. I'm really open to letting that come forth and blossom so they can find that their disease process may actually be an education of some sort to bring forth something that they never knew they had within them, or even a purpose to help the world through their condition. I think it would just provide, as it has for me completely, a sense of accelerating beyond any potential any doctor even had for me, or best case scenario. I was able to far exceed that by really tapping into this process as an actual gift that's coming in quite a challenging disguise.
Wow, Stephanie, such a strong call. really important. And I'm struck by this scenario that you're creating with a physician having a lot of lead time and the patient actually kind of stumbling in. And actually that is, I mean, Ruby, what do you feel about this? To me, I mean, certainly I've never looked at this like that. And I haven't seen, this is not something that has been taught in medical school or anything, right? And saying like, hey, it's maybe even celebrated that difference, right? So yes, of course you're ahead of the patient. I mean, that's why you're a professional, right? And so that's how and why you can give all your wisdom and hand it down to the patient who is arriving new at the field, you know, just like your students and, you know, so you can pass on all your preparations and your wisdom, right? So that's actually, that's really interesting. That's very, very good to see. And how do you deal with that, Ruby? Did you deal with that? And what do you see as a possibility to actually guide the patient in this journey towards finding their purpose?
Well, this is as exciting and novel and amazing to you as it is to me. I haven't had an opportunity to practice in this manner. This is new in that aspect. It's not new to me because this is something that Stephanie and I've been privileged to have these conversations, to really start to understand that powerful potential and the meaning of the disease process, living with chronic illness, you name it, the patient experience, the subjective experience, that connection I've been able to share with Stephanie and understand and think about as far as I can from my perspective. But when it comes to thinking about that invitation to that patient, you know, from the get-go, from the beginning, I haven't been able to experience that. And it's as exciting to you as it is, you know, our eyes are lighting up because I think this is a key missing link that we really need to continue to talk more about. I love this idea of, it actually hit me completely, as new, you know, completely for the first time, when I was thinking about, oh yeah, okay, it is kind of like the patient's school education beginning, and there's a link in there, and that was kind of exciting to me because, Dan, you've talked about yourself being a physician guide, and I felt like, to me, the word that came to mind was more so the real meaning of team. Like, come on, like, this is my job as being on your team, patient who's about to embark on this journey of experience. I'm really here just to tell you what you might expect because I'm the connector piece maybe to other people's experience, but really more so through the physical aspect of it. The experience still remains with the patient to be there. It's kind of, I'm seeing this sort of like, you know, hero's journey, fellowship of the rings, whatever you want to call it. And it suddenly turns into a far more, I think, realistic scenario than where we're at, thinking that we can swoop in and make everything better with our knowledge, which often is not the same knowledge of having even experienced that disease. Something that can be very triggering to the doctor's ego in a way that we're likely to respond with, okay, well, here's what I'm used to. I'm just going to da 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 and put you through an algorithm. It's very easy to fall back on that anytime we feel uncomfortable. So sorry, I feel like I said a lot, but this, I mean, I'm excited again, as usual. But I'm loving this as an entryway into the new team of the future where we can meet a little bit more congruently or equally.
So Dan, what would it take to move from meaning and purpose to potential?
An incredible question to think about. I mean, again, I also feel an openness and a newness just in the way that we're describing this. We're talking about this. It is an opening in our own lives to think about how we bring meaning and purpose into medicine, into these patient encounters. And you know, when Stephanie was explaining that, I speak a lot in terms of regenerative healing. I think about, you know, biodynamic farming. I think about ways in which on an island, you know, whatever impacts support the whole. And it's like, that's how I think about holistic medicine in those ways. And so when I think about an opening of a patient doesn't choose, and they're in the beginning stages of cultivating education, is that a magical portal? Is that an opening for us to solve one of the things that's been so important in medicine right now, which is, you know, people are calling it many different things, but it's just ultimately the burnout in medicine. Because we come in and imagine this feeling of like, I don't know, I always like the analogy of the bathtub of, you know, you, the drain is still going and you're filling the water. And that's what it really feels like. Because if you ultimately think in this sort of fight against disease that you're somehow going to eradicate the disease or take care of, you know, what's going on for the patient from the standpoint of disease without actually helping the patient themselves, the narrative of the patient within, the healing within, then all of a sudden there's always going to be more patients. There's always more people that are going to need that. And you're never actually doing the work that you think that you're doing. And so even if you take a step back and say, you know, Stephanie brings that up, like we come in into medicine possibly with this meaning and purpose of helping others, of being of service, of making a difference. And we've been preparing for that. But then at some level, we hit our stride within the mainstream medicine. And it's just patient after patient after patient and billing and all of the things. And you're not really getting where you really wanted to be. Well, that's why patients are burnt out. That's why patients aren't getting this experience. And so this is a portal. This is an opening where when I mentioned regenerative healing, it's like, what if we allow this moment, this opportunity to be sacred, where you bring everything that you know as a provider, as a, you know, your experience, but then you start fresh. Mm-hmm. And so I think even on this call, all of us use these skills, whether it be deep listening or presence or awareness, to create that connection so that we are open to what is coming out of myself, what is intuitively coming out of myself, what is needed at that moment, and what does the patient need? Because if you come in the same way that, you know, if I came into the podcast right now and knew what I was going to say or knew what Jan was going to be asked, it would come out very differently than me holding and really just, you know, I have a lot of information, but I don't know what the question is. I don't know what you're going to say. I don't know where this is going to go. And so that's the opportunity for the secret. And so, Jan, your question is really about kind of meaning and purpose moving to potential. But I take that step back because when we could heal, when the patient is being healed and we realize that that is actually healing ourselves and making it more creative and making us feel more alive in that space, well, then that's where the healing resonance is starting to happen. So we're showing up, the patient's learning, we're learning, and we're in a field where that is absolutely co-creation. And co-creation is ultimately divinity. And it's actually a space of possibility where anything can happen. And when anything can happen, I mean, I can only imagine Stephanie going through that unbelievable process, you know, and maybe, you know, as Ruby kind of mentioned, like the hero's journey within that, that wild process. But if they're from the beginning and inception point of saying, we don't really know where this is going to go, but I'm with you and we're going to go through this together and we're going to glean a lot of amazing insights along the way, that changes the intentionality of the journey. You know, basically, Stephanie could possibly be close to where she is now in this space at the beginning of the journey. And imagine going through it again. I mean, I always laugh. We have two beautiful children, but my wife always, you know, I'm still encouraging her to write the book because it's like, you know, have your third baby first, you know, like what you know after going through these processes and what you've learned and gleaned, then do it then, you know? So it's like this process of being the patient. I wanted to kind of to get into potential though. I do think that Stephanie hit on something really interesting, which is if we're coming from totally different places, how do we get on the same place for to move into potential?
Yeah.
And so I think of it from, and Stephanie, I bet you can relate to this, but it's like from a yogic perspective, right? I mean, this is definitely like, I mean, I'm always about like the root to rise, to kind of, and even in my own practice, it's grounding in order to kind of ascend. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, from Kundalini to chakra systems to ancient mystical Kabbalah, like all of these healing traditions, mystery schools, it's about this kind of ascension process. But I think we need to find a grounding place together to play in order to rise, in order to get there. Because if we're in totally disparate places, we're not really going to meet, or we're going to try to meet, but we're never going to find it. So we need that place of that. And I'll just bring us there, because that's ultimately the question. It's like, how do you bring meaning and purpose into potentiality, well, that's where it is, right? If we have an opening in which to connect, which brings the meaning and purpose as the physician, as the provider, healthcare worker, opening to the patient's experience, and we land there, that is where the potentiality can stem from, because then we're rising together and then we're resonating along that field as we're ascending, and we don't really know where it's going, none of us. And that's the last piece of it, where it's like, you know, you're playing both the hollow bamboo of taking all that information but not bringing it and just showing up at the same moment that you, and this is the hardest thing for, you know, the egoic provider, but to know that we're not ultimately in charge of what happens. And that is where the potential can rise, because if the healing is not really something that I'm bestowing upon you, that changes the entire dynamic. And it's like, wow, that not only gives you the space to heal, but it gives us the space to not actually be in charge of it all, which is kind of obvious, but ultimately from a medical, legal, from an insurance base, from a system we are here, it sure looks like you come in and I give you a code and that's what it is. And this is your treatment and this is your protocol. And that's what's going on, as if I'm bestowing that upon you at the end of that visit. So that's a lot.
No, that's great. Can I just say something about that real quick? I love how you brought it, you know, talk about grounded, like, bam. ICD-9 and 10 codes and billing and all the things that, you know, if we were to make a list of things that make us feel devoid of meaning and purpose in our chosen, you know, purpose and look back and think, what are we doing? You nailed it on the head. And as far as what I see within what you say, this openness, this space, this connection, and this equalization of the dynamic, all I hear then is, here's our entryway, our the place to start with is with the provider patient relationships, and the system changes would have to come downstream. I feel like I say that a lot, but the changes would have to come downstream. And we probably have to spend a whole other series talking about empowering and advocating for change within the system. But I think that if we can have providers have these experiences, it would be, I would be hard pressed. I feel like a lot of the physicians I know, the healthcare workers I know, if they were starting to have an actual possibility to have these more meaningful, open relationships, advocating for change, a lot of that energy would come right back. And there has to be a voice of these things. I just feel that. Maybe I'm optimistic.
I don't think you are. I don't think you're optimistic. I think you're right on. So when we have an experience that is transforming, and we're growing up in information, and we're not really led in transformation. And I think this is what our conversation is about. And so what is that transformative step? And I love your call, Dan, for let's, you know, any ascension process is starting with the grounding. And right now, that's maybe where it's kind of going off track, is that the so-called healing process is grounded in making a diagnosis and giving a code and then following down the kind of associated algorithms. And that's where the focus is away from the patient. It's away from meaning and purpose, or the meaning and purpose are kind of, they just shrivel into this very reductionist meaning and purpose that is getting rid of signs and symptoms, right? Or as a physician, you know, 10 years ago, I would have drastically objected if somebody says, all you do is treating signs and symptoms. And I say, what are you talking about? You have no idea what you're talking about. I'm treating illness, right? I'm curing bugs that are invading, and I'm curing. So I'm actually causally effective, right? So there's no, it's so deeply entrenched that the depth, the very shallow depth of our understanding in the very young art of medicine, as we're kind of what we're talking about right now, we're talking about 200 years, maybe a little bit more, right? So this is a very young science that we that we accept as evidence to make diagnosis and treatments. So in our last call, I think we actually established that compassion requires a state of ignorance, and it requires a state of humbleness, and it requires a state of not knowing. As soon as I know comes in, that I comes with it. And then it's not about you anymore. Then it's about me, myself, and I, the three of us, right? And so then it's that's so distorting. So what would be the right or the appropriate grounding place, right? If our shared departure of the journey into a shared meaning and purpose, let's start there. What is the adequate departure place? Stephanie, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I actually would love to introduce something even a little beyond what we're saying, just to think about, is the concept of having the grounding is essential. But as we truly move forward in this evolutionary style of ontology and thinking and healthcare, you need to be able to hold both. So it needs to be paradoxical of holding the grounded while keeping the vision. So what I feel as a patient, and again, I don't know if we did or we're going to discuss healers and healthcare. And is there really a difference? Are we one and the same? But one thing about the healer field, whether it be shamanism or anybody coming from an ancient cultural tradition of a healer, they're going to look at their patient as already being perfect and well as is, but they're going to remove the blocks to which keeps them from that already state of wellness. And I think to hold that vision within a practitioner's mind, which again is totally flipped, it's totally inverted of ignoring the story and seeing the soul first, and then removing the blocks to that potential individual, removing the aspects as the job of the physician. How can I remove some of these things that are in the way of this perfect human soul that I see in front of me on their own individual journey? So I just want to kind of propose that ability. I know that everyone has the ability to hold these two multidimensional perspectives of keeping the groundedness of it, but seeing beyond the evident and the obvious and ignoring the story and seeing the soul. This is a perfect individual in front of me who has some blocks in the way. That's my job, is try to address some of these blocks, but seeing them as actually whole and complete as they are in their experiential process, rather than seeing them as sick from the start.
And what would make the difference to you if I came in? Let me kind of really exaggerate this. So let's say you're coming in with a pneumonia, okay? And I see you as basically whole and living up to your full potential. And there's just this little pneumonia thing right now. And I could show up as saying like, hey, got a treat for you. I know these bugs, you know, it's one of the three most likely. And here's some antibiotic, have it. And in 2 weeks, you feel much better. And in 6 weeks, you feel back to normal. Mm-hmm. So trust me, I'm a doctor, right? Mm-hmm. That would be the classic response, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the difference to what would you like to see differently?
I'm using this reference as a key that's in the internal mindset of the practitioner. Because when you keep that within your own mind as the practitioner, it automatically removes the ego. So it doesn't necessarily need to be said. It's just that truthfulness that you connect with within yourself and your own purpose and meaning and knowing your lane, which is, I am here to mitigate issues, but I am not the ultimate person that's going to per se save this person. So by just keeping that humbleness of thought, this person is whole and complete on a soul level. I'm just here to help remove the things in the way. It's a beautiful just mindset shift to embody, to stay humble and present in the moment, to stay connected to your purpose to not get too overwhelmed with what you can or cannot do, and to really start to distill the ego out of the process with each individual human being as an individual. So again, the way that we're doing it, we do it so often, so frequent, time is short, we see so many cases that we start to lose the humanity within each individual and start to look at the disease before the human. So my suggestion is to not necessarily say anything. It's the work that the physician can do to embody that truthful humility within themselves to say, this person is whole and complete, and I don't know exactly what's going on between them and the God of their own understanding, but I'm here to try to mitigate the things that are in the way of that.
So the grounding place then is to meet humbly, is to meet open, is to meet compassionately, mm-hmm. and to be ready for surprise, what emerges, rather than I know what you need. Right. I recognize the blockage and I know how to deal with the blockage, and we're going to deal with that.
What it feels like to me sometimes is the groundedness is sometimes our knowledge, which is again, rooted in the physical. You know, I know the bugs, I know the physical medicine I need to give you. Mm-hmm. So I will hold that. So it's almost kind of like you could hold the grounded knowledge and hold that very practical, tangible aspect. I don't know if that helps, but
yeah, it's like Dan was talking about the chakra system, right? So you're firmly rooted within your wisdom and knowledge into the core of the earth, but you're still connected to the higher possibilities that are even beyond your recognition. It's holding those dual perspectives and being able to kind of traverse within your own intuitive faculties, but never losing your groundedness, but never losing what's beyond you at the same time.
Yeah, I'm picturing you know, and I'm sure you guys have had similar experiences with patients, but navigating a cancer diagnosis and that long term, that beginning, you know, where yes, I can inundate you with grounded information, but we don't know, and we surrender to that higher state of, mm-hmm. you know, it's almost kind of like the groundedness then allows us, if you're holding dual perspectives, to be open to the unknown and hold that space for the patient too, which is, I would think, a little bit different than how things play out now a lot of times.
Stephanie, you talked about your readiness to hold a space and actually be with this new impression that you have, right? So I'm a patient. I'm arriving in this situation for the first time. Mm-hmm. I did not have preparation. Mm-hmm. And now I'm allowing myself to actually be with what is, rather than already having the anticipation and the already jumping to the conclusion that this feels uncomfortable or this is something I don't want, so I want to get rid of it as soon as possible. So that first step of invitation, if you like, that first step of opening, as you described it, towards the uncomfortable, that's also part of the grounding, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that we're actually, that the healing process has to do with coming to terms with what is and welcoming what is. And that's on both sides. So for you, it's like an uncomfortable surprise. And for the physicians, it's a recognizable pattern. And both join in the alliance of, we want to get rid of this as soon as possible. And then we're back to normal. Whilst what you're describing, Stephanie, is the paradigm could be, we don't even want to be back to normal. We want to go forward to a new normal. We want to transcend this. We want to take this as a call for transcending.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So Dan, as a patient guide, what does it take for you as the healthcare professional? What does it take for you to actually shift from being traditionally trained to transforming to this different inner disposition that actually allows meeting at this grounding point?
I see it as a place where your inner work meets your outer work. I think of it where, like what Stephanie gave the opportunity for, you know, is ultimately the holding both the polarities, where I think in my own life, I live in the manifestation of what is possible. And because I am constantly in that growth of imagining what that would actually feel like as if it's already happened in my own life. So I'm actually living in a place that is in the unknown. So it hasn't really happened yet. Then it allows me to kind of work backwards. So I think that there's like this, it's interesting to articulate it right now as I'm thinking about it, but there's actually like a reverse engineering process where you're in the sort of like the true manifestation of it. And then now that it's actually happened, even though maybe in a time space continuum, it hasn't happened yet. And then you're moving yourself backwards into a place and then you just arrive in the presence. And so that sounds complicated. It's like, oh, well, how are we going to teach that? But I think ultimately it's doing both. It's holding that space for what is and living where you are. And I think that the invitation's a lot easier than it sounds. I mean, look, I'm living in Kauai, and the word actually, I mean, you know, a lot of people are now open and been hearing about Ho'oponopono as this incredible blessings. This, you know, I am sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, is really the way that it's taught in an English translation. But e komo mai is the beginning of it. It actually is e komo mai. You'll see on signs here. It's actually like in some ways it's like a welcoming. E komo mai is like a welcoming. And this is, you know, in my study of Hawaiian, I am far from the Hawaiian scholar, but there are so many people with so much more knowledge. But that invitation, it's like a welcome. You can actually see that written, but within that is actually the first two phrases of Ho'oponopono. So it's, I am sorry, please forgive me, and welcome. And so it's really like an untangling of the cords that exist that get in the way. So I'm taking us on a little bit of a tangent, but bringing it back to like, if I show up and I can forgive myself for not knowing and realize that all healing is self-healing, and I'm there as a conduit, and so ultimately of service, which is really what we're there to be, then I get the goosebumps, then I get excited, then I bring all of my knowledge and experience and training, but I'm not in like, oh, I went to UCSF and I have this family medicine and I did a wilderness medicine village. I never said that. And all of that stuff, it's more like, oh, this is the basis for me as a human being connecting with someone else. And that's what it's about. And so it's really interesting. It's like, it's ultimately, you know, in some ways doing the work, getting through your own stuff enough so that you can just show up. And so that's a much more simple way of saying it. You know, for me, it's sort of manifestation and reverse engineering, but just kind of as I'm thinking through the whole process, it's really, you know, making sure that you know who you are, what is your own meaning, what is your own purpose, what is your own potential, so that you can show up at the beginning and be present with that. And, you know, it's really interesting. I'll just bring one other thing. When we show up at the beginning, and this has been such a unique conversation for this, all of a sudden my mind and heart is already thinking like, well, even what we say on this podcast, even the words we're using, we're still using provider and patient multiple times. And like within that embedded nature of what we're doing, we're perpetuating something, you know, oh, someone's being patient or someone's providing. Like that's something really interesting that we don't need to take apart right now. And then the last part of that is like, I think we're also basing this on, you know, what's behind the scenes. I think there's a little bit of hero's journey as if that's the patient going through what wasn't stated, but was kind of like the wounded healer. Those of us that can show up in this most of the time have gone through something ourselves so that we've done our internal work so that we can show up there. That's been amazing. I mean, these are incredible archetypes that help us grow and understand, but we're actually, I think what Stephanie just gave us the opportunity, the portal, the opening is, do we have to live in that? Do we really need the hero's journey and the wounded healer in order to admit? No, that's been an archetype that's helped. But if we have that as a lineage, and now do you need to do a young person going through residency training right now? Do they need to be, you know, go through the most intense, you know, process to get to that point, or they can learn or just feel in the field that we've gone through that and you can show up that way?
A nice simple way to embrace this invitation is to consciously choose, say yes. Say yes to the journey, and then be prepared, no matter what your level of education is, that you're going to continue to learn each and every single day, and your patients are going to give you and provide you the best source of that wisdom for you to continue on this journey of connection and love. So when we meet our patients or vice versa, it could be something like, hi, we've just got a diagnosis of cancer. You ready to go on a journey with me? And it's this co-collaboration, which just, there's no separation between provider and patient. It's two equals who have come together to go on a journey together. And there's no lack of love in that sort of an interaction or separation.
Wonderful. Wow. What an amazing deep dive again. we just need 3 hours per conversation. We just get to kind of tip our toes in the water. But I think some really rich insights, at least for me, during this conversation. So thank you. The question around meaning and potential and purpose. So can we start at a grounding place? What is that grounding place made of? Is it the acceptance of what is, in terms of signs and symptoms as a patient? Is it about who am I? What's my sense and purpose as a healthcare practitioner? Is it all healing is self-healing, and we may meet in this space, and there is a little knowledge ground that we may stand on, but ultimately, if we don't want to serve the academic interest, but we actually want to serve the individual patient in front of us, then it does require that we find out what that journey actually is of the patient in front of us. And we haven't really learned much about that. So it means stepping away from having the solution. And it means we get to be open and inquire. And that means we're actually both arriving at this very unique encounter between with this one healthcare professional and this one patient as new, as fresh. So in a way, we don't arrive prepared, or we have different kinds of preparations, but we're both actually fresh to the scene. And that makes it very enriching and enlivening. So then we're not repeating the same routine with every patient that we're seeing, but it's actually fresh and alive every single time we start. And then we don't get to go through algorithms many times because they're actually not needed. Maybe something different is required. So that's really exciting. In our next conversation, we want to actually look into resonance. And you touched on this, Dan, is that you're saying this is about that the regenerative healing is about a healing resonance. And we want to unpack the term resonance and what might be behind that, and where does resonance come into play when we move, when we recognize the meaning and potential, and how do we then actually move to towards the potential? And part of that ingredient has to do with resonance. So really looking forward to our next conversation. Talk to you very, very soon again. Thanks a lot for today.
Thanks for listening to this Heart of Healthcare podcast brought to you by Heart-Based Medicine. If you enjoyed the conversation, you'll find some free resources and more information at heartbasedmedicine.org. Please share this episode if you feel inclined and subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. Until next time, thanks and take care.